Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of South Hills Church in Costa Mesa. My name is Chris Kretzu, and I'm the campus pastor here. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to this today. I hope that you will be encouraged and challenged, and ultimately that you'll have a deeper sense of God's love for you. I'll be back after the message is over, but until then, I hope that you enjoy this episode. And it is my great privilege. I get one really big request a year in my marriage, and it is this one, that as my wife would come and speak on Mother's Day. She's very clear. This is not a sermon. It's a speech that has Bible verses in it. And it could change your life, but it's not a sermon. And if you guys know Ez, you know that she is honest, and she is hilarious and sarcastic, and she is worth just everything to me, and I'm so grateful for you as a wife and as a mom, and I'm grateful that I already got to sit through service once, and I'm excited for you guys to hear. I had older gentlemen, I won't say the ages, coming up to me afterwards saying how incredible what Ez said was, and so I'm excited for you guys to hear it, and I would love to pray for her as she gets started. It's going to be the best thing you've ever heard. No? Is that not what
Too
you want me to
hype.
Say?
Too much hype.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you again for the women in our lives, the moms, grandmas, spiritual moms, mentors, the people that have cared for us in so many different ways. I pray that as we dive into what Ez is going to share with us, that we would be encouraged and challenged, and that we would find hope in the only place that hope is actually available, which is in you. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, morning, everybody. Yes. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Ez Kretzu, and Chris is my husband and the campus pastor here. And I thought, you know, in honor of Mother's Day, I'd just give him the Sunday off. So, 15-minute roast, and then we're out of here for brunch. So let's go. So we know that Mother's Day can be difficult for lots of reasons that we've already acknowledged. And if we're honest, you know, some of the reasons that Mother's Day is difficult is because being a mom is difficult. And so in the spirit of honesty for all the dads and the men and the kids in the room, and in the spirit of solidarity for all my moms in the room, I'm going to talk to you today about three reasons why it sucks to be a mom. Yes. Enjoy, because they're probably never going to let me do it again. So I could have named it, you know, like resting on God's promises, but like this is more fun. So we'll go with that. So without further ado, the first thing that sucks about being a mom is wondering, like, just how much time is my kid going to spend in counseling because of me? Thank you for the validation. Like, am I paying for like someone's Hawaii trip or for like their condo in Hawaii? Like, that I just want to know, like, Mason, when the memoir hits the shelves, just like let me know, you know? But in seriousness, we are constantly worrying, like, am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I shaping this kid, his life, by the ways that I respond or don't respond, or how emotionally available I am or am not? And that is a serious thing that we are all kind of wondering. When Mason was 6 or 7, he asked a very famous question: where do babies come from? And like any good mom, I said, go ask your dad. So, but what he really wanted to know was, like, how do they come out? Do they come out in like Lego pieces and then you put them together? Which would have been very convenient. But that is the similar thing that we're wrestling with. Like, am I putting all these pieces of this kid together in the right way? Am I giving him the right opportunities, the right freedoms, the right boundaries, or like too many freedoms and too many opportunities? Is he gonna come, you know, together the way that he was always meant to be? Or like most of the Lego sets at our house, is he going to be missing some key pieces and just be like a little bit off for his life? Gotcha, buddy. He wasn't in here first service, so. But the simple truth is that I am going to mess up. I am not going to do it perfectly. And spoiler alert, neither are you. And really, all that we can is hold on. All we can do is hold on to God's promise. And his promise says that my grace is all you need and my power works best in weakness. And that is incredibly comforting for me because obviously I've got some weaknesses. But the scripture is saying that all we have to do is embrace his grace and that he will fill in the gaps, however big or many they may be. And I know that we desperately want a contingency plan for our children's future to be able to predict and help before they even get to struggles. We want to be able to plan out all of their future struggles. And as desperately as we want to protect our kids, you have to know that our Heavenly Father wants their greatest good even more. And he is the only one that is actually sufficient for this task. And so while we are going to get things wrong and we are going to make mistakes, there will be times that I was not kind enough or patient enough or interested in Harry Potter enough. the sooner that I can embrace that, the sooner that I am able to rely on God's perfect power and his power that releases me of the notion that I have any control or that it is up to me. And so if I can acknowledge my limitations, if I can name my worry and give myself permission to not feel okay, then it breaks this cycle of anxious and intrusive thoughts that are bombarding us every day. And it not only breaks that cycle, but it points us to this reminder and this promise that God will guide you along the best path of your life. And he will advise you and he will watch over you because that is the promise that he has given us. That's just the first thing. So, the second thing that sucks about being a mom is the weight. Yes, all of the weight and whatever version of that you take it. I know that many of us, not just moms, but many of us carry this weight. The weight of working all day and laundry all night, of shuttling kids back and forth, of making appointments and managing calendars and cooking dinners and cuddling and, mandating showers and being the only person in your house who can ever find anything. Listen, no one can find anything. And at some point, we start to wonder, does any of this matter? Does anybody see this? Does anyone notice all of this work that we're doing? And especially for those with young babies, it's like, forget the first words being mama. Those first words should be like either thank you or I'm sorry or like my bad. But it can feel so exhausting and discouraging at times. And so if you, have found yourself feeling kind of forgotten about the very people that you are pouring yourselves out for, then I want to remind you that there is a promise for us that God will, that as you continue to sow into your families, you will experience this harvest that you hope for. In Hebrews, it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as he has helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so whatever you may hope for will be fully realized. And so when we ask ourselves, does this matter? Does the folding of these 1,000 tiny little socks matter? Does this shuttling back and forth to baseball practice matter? We have to acknowledge that perhaps not everything we do will dramatically change our kids' lives. And hopefully there is some freedom in that for you. Like, You spent 1,000 hours researching sippy cups. They all leak. All of them. Not a single one is leak-proof. So, yes, maybe not everything we do will change our kids' lives, but the collection of these hours and years worth of acts of love, of choosing to show up, of helping with the homework, of bedtime stories, one more bedtime story and one more trip to your friend's house, the collection of all of these things will produce the type of life and fruit and harvest that we'd hope to see. So it says in Hebrews, not every seed we plant will blossom, but the promise remains that God will not forget your work, the love that you have shown, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. And lastly, the third thing that sucks about being a mom, probably like the worst one, is the mom next door. Oh, a little quiet, a little quiet. You are either the mom next door or you know the literal mom next door. So, you know the one. She is effortlessly perfect. It's true what the song says. Stacy's mom does actually have it going on. Yes, she shows up for school drop-off, fresh out of spin class, but not like a hair out of place. Meanwhile, I've just been marinating in these same sweatpants for 2 days. So she levitates out of her perfectly clean SUV and hands off those organic lunches. And meanwhile, Mason's packed himself Fritos, Cheetos, Doritos. Yes. She's hosting play dates and volunteering on every field trip. She's the room mom and the dorm mom and the team mom. And why do we need so many types of mom? But you have once again forgotten it's your turn for snacks. So you know the type. She's never once yelled at her kids. She just calmly recites Bible verses over them when she's frustrated. She just loves her husband 100% of the time. Probably because she's not speaking on Mother's Day. Zing. And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking, and it's not me. But where is all of this pressure coming from? Where is all of this stress coming from? This pressure to appear like you are amazing at everything, but also without trying. It's not just moms. It's all of us, and it's everywhere. Stanford University started calling this the duck syndrome, where just like a duck, we're giving the impression that we are gliding gracefully and smoothly through the lake of life, but underneath the surface, we are just frantically paddling to stay afloat. And this theory that you can struggle, sure, you can struggle, but just make sure you keep it out of sight. And so when we look around the room and when we look out in our lives, we feel this sense of, I will never be enough. I will never be patient enough or kind enough or fun enough. And when we start to look around that room, I know that it's true because I have sat in that seat and I have thought those things. A few years ago, our family had gone through a bunch of changes, and we were in a bit of a tough season, and I had a friend of mine invite me to join a mom's group for preschoolers. So I obviously said, no, thank you. Just like a hard pass for me. And she is a friend who I love dearly, and she is this like PTA loving, play date planning kind of mom. And in case you like haven't gathered, that's not totally me. And so out of her love for me, she insisted and she kept inviting and inviting. So shout out to all the friends that don't give up on us. But finally, mostly just to prove her wrong, I joined. And I showed up to this huge room with all sorts of moms. And before I had a single conversation, I just judged all of them. Just all the judge. You know, like the mature Christian woman that I am. And I was like, I have repented and, you know, it's fine. We're fine now. But I saw this, what seemed like sea of perfect bodies and wrinkleless skin and beautiful cars and perfect clothes. And I just thought, I have nothing in common with these women. And what I learned after showing up week after week after week was, I was kind of right. But also I was incredibly wrong. Incredibly wrong. That while we were going home to different sized houses or driving away in different cars, we wanted the same things for our families. We had the same fears and the same struggles. And it was through their vulnerability in sharing that, that I was able to be fully myself and realize that that was enough. It was enough for them. It was enough for my family. And saying yes to that group of women has drastically changed my life, changed the way that I see community and friendships. All right, let me just shake it out. But before I could experience that, before I could experience that type of community, I had to get past this nasty word of comparison. And comparison is actually the opposite of community. Comparison is isolating, and it distances us from the very people that we're supposed to be, that we need in our lives. Comparison says, you should have that. Comparison says, you don't have enough. You don't have what they have. Instead of realizing that you have something that only you can offer. Comparison says you need to be more like them, and it robs you of being who you are and from people experiencing the things that only you can bring to the table. And so when I looked around that table of moms that had become my friends, I still thought, well, I'm probably never going to be as enthusiastic as my friend here. And I'll probably not be as empathetic as her, or confident as her, or as patient with her kids as her. And you know what? I won't. I won't be. Because I am not all of those things, and I am not wired the way that they are. And you and I, we've been gifted with different gifts, different abilities, and we've been given different families and different opportunities and different experiences. And God has created us with unique gifts that he wants you to share. Those gifts that maybe are like, oh, is that a gift? He wants you to share that because that's something only you can offer. And you know what? God loves me and you and those of us that stumble out of our Cheerio-filled car just as much as those that levitate out of their cars that have never seen a crumb touch the floor. And in Galatians 6, it says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. So being a mom is incredible. It's difficult, hard, beautiful, heartbreaking. And as we walk through that, as we talk honestly about those frustrations and those challenges, it's important that we realize that when we share those things, we release this pressure of, I am not alone, and I am not the only one. And you are not alone, and you are not the only one. And that is the beauty of community. That's where we get to see God's goodness show up, where we're encouraged and refreshed, and we're cheered on by the people around us. And so today, as I finish up my talk here, I just want to be able to pray over us the things that God is already promising us, the things that as moms we want to hear the most is that we're okay, our kids are going to be okay, that we have rest in him, and that we were created for this exact role. And I want to pray for us all that you and I would experience these truths and these promises today. So if you bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you see us. Thank you that you know us, and that because you weaved us together while we were still in our mother's womb. Thank you that we don't have to be afraid or walk this life alone, because you have promised not just to be with us, but to go ahead and prepare the way. That when we are afraid, we can put our trust in you, and that you will provide the rest and the peace and the strength that we need, and all we have to do is ask. I pray that you would help us remember that we are your beloved children, and that you delight in each and every one of us, that we are your handiwork and have all been given different gifts to serve one another. We may not be the moms we thought we'd be, but because of your son, Jesus, we can be the moms who are set free and made whole in him, and hold on to your promises because you are faithful in all you do. Amen.
Oops. Amen. Can we thank La Primera? Incredible. And I'm not going to preach another sermon or give another speech. But I do just want to talk briefly through a couple things. I'm really grateful that Ez talked about some of these things that only moms deal with. Fear, isolation, feeling alone, wondering if anybody values what we do. I'm being a little sarcastic. These are things that every one of us wrestles with. Obviously, she's got a unique perspective as a mom, and so many of you do, but this is something that each of us hold on to and wrestle with and struggle through, and it's so important that we recognize this. And last Sunday, we started a series the week before Mother's Day, which is perfect timing, called Defeating Depression. And we talked a lot last week, and you can go back and listen to that message, and we're going to continue talking about it. But one of the primary things that plays into anxiety and depression is isolation. And that's so much of what Ez talked about. And we become isolated when we start to look at these obstacles around us and we begin to feel stuck. We stay stuck because it feels like it's going to be too overwhelming to act. It's too overwhelming to try and share about the weight of what we're carrying or the way that we feel. Oftentimes we feel like we're an outsider or nobody will understand. Sometimes we're afraid of actually addressing a broken area of our life, something that we've maybe been doing that's unhealthy, or a system or a pattern we've been living in that's unhealthy. So we find ourselves alone and isolated. And in that space of darkness, ultimately we begin to lose strength. And there's an opportunity there for every one of us to struggle, regardless of whether you would say this is depression. Isolation is not at all what Jesus had in mind for us as his followers. He called us to the beautiful, powerful, difficult, sometimes awkward life of community, of relationships, of honesty, of being able to stand up and talk about the difficult things about being a mom in front of a room full of other moms. The power of being able to say, I am wrestling with this. This is a difficult thing for me. We can all learn something from being willing to take those types of steps. So what do we do? How do we move forward? There's one last scripture I just want to read. Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. It's interesting because he says he's going to help us rest and also invites us to work. So there's an interesting thing there. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So much of what we feel, so much of what we carry, so much of what we're experiencing, ill-fitting is probably the best word. And so many times we put those things on our own shoulders. We pick those things up. We choose to carry those things, and Jesus is inviting us to experience rest. Jesus is inviting us to experience a way of living and a way of working that doesn't pile on, but it actually gives us freedom. Interestingly enough, and I think important enough, to experience this, we have to acknowledge we're struggling, which we don't love doing. It goes back to that duck syndrome thing that she talked about. This, I want to make sure everybody thinks that I'm okay, but underneath the water, it's just chaos. We are afraid of acknowledging, admitting, talking, sharing with people. Sometimes we're even afraid of just looking inside of our own minds and our own hearts about what we're struggling with. And so again, whether we're talking about something as specific as clinical depression or whether we're talking about the challenges of life around us, whether you're a mom or a dad or a kid or a grandparent or single or married, whatever it is, the invitation here is for us to trust others with the realities of what we're experiencing, believing that they also are experiencing these things. Each week of this series, we're giving kind of two journaling prompts, two questions to think about, two things to wrestle with. And nobody's getting off the hook today. We're going to wrap up here in 1 minute. But I want you guys on your phones. There's notepaper. You can write it down on whatever. But there's two things I want to invite you to not only think about, but I want you to write these down or maybe use this as homework for this week. The first one is, who could you safely express your full range of emotions to? Some of you may have that person already, but I'd be willing to bet that most of us don't. Or maybe you can rephrase this if these words don't necessarily connect with you, but who could you safely share your honest thoughts with? The full experience that you have of life. Is there someone in your life that you actually are able to be that honest with? Again, I think that most of us probably struggle with that, because of those fears. I don't want to be seen as weak or weird or problematic or sad or struggling or whatever it is. But I want you to think about, and if you can in this moment, but if not today, over the next couple of days, I want you to think of someone that you can start having those conversations with. And it probably won't be like a 0 to 100 situation, but maybe it'll be a 0 to 20. Situation. You can start testing those waters, having those conversations. The second one is, if you actually believed your health was essential, and we can talk about emotional health, spiritual health, physical health. If you actually believed your health was essential, what might you need to do even though you're afraid to? And as challenging as it might be to think of someone you could be fully honest with, I think it's even more scary for some of us to look at the thing that we know is there, the thing we know we need to start doing, the way we know we need to commit to showing up to a small group, to being part of a church on Sunday, to finding community in our lives, the physical reality of what does it look like for me to care for my health physically, the excuses we make about why we don't want to go to a counselor, whatever the thousand reasons are that we've come up with. What's the thing that we're afraid to do that we need to take that step and do? I want to invite us, I want to challenge each of us to write down an answer to these two questions this week, because it's something that God is inviting us into: honest community and developing a healthy, holistic relationship with Him. It's not just about what happens when you die. It's about what happens in your home today. It's about what happens in your relationships today. And I am far from perfect, as my wife pointed out a handful of times today, so thank you for that. But I have never felt more free than over the last 5 years, as I have consistently been a part of counseling, been a part of honest friendships and relationships, done the hard work of getting up to go to the gym, all these things that have not necessarily gotten more fun, but they have provided a sense of freedom that, dare I say, Jesus actually promised when he said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." He's talking about religion, but he's talking about the way that it begins to impact our whole life. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Well, regardless of where you may be at in your faith journey, I believe that everyone has a next step that they can take. If you'd like more information about what it means to put your trust in Jesus, information about getting baptized, or maybe even attending a Discover class to grow more in your faith, you can visit us online at southhills.org/Costa Mesa, and then scroll down to the Next Steps section. If you'd like more information about tithing or supporting South Hills financially, you can visit southhills.org/giving. Thanks again for listening today, and I hope that I get to see you soon.